receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room. This is Red Pill Politics. Howdy, folks. We are back at it. Boy, full hour went by already. That was quick. We still got James from Vancouver here on the line, and then we're going to jump over to another caller from Texas. James, what were your final thoughts there? We cut you off on the break.
That's okay. The people who run the government up here are children. They're being told how to run the government. And I could also tell you a story. When I went to one of the provincial legislatures as a high school student years ago, I noticed an interesting thing, that the Speaker of the House had a very distinct English accent. Now, what that meant to me, and I think it still applies, is all of the provinces of Canada have their the people from Britain, they come in here to make sure that Canada doesn't, that Canada maintains the status quo. So it's whatever Her Majesty's government says. And this is, I think, a thing that the United States would have a hard time understanding or accepting. You've got these ghosts in your government that are secretly controlling the minds and hearts of those elected officials. Now, apparently now we have this Bilderberg thing. So I think, yeah, you have ghosts in your government now that are secretly a government within a government.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the Bilderberg stuff, actually. People have known about that for some time. But you know what's a popular theory is that there's those that think that our president and our state committee, State Department, was up there leaning on Trudeau because when the convoy was popping off up there, they were worried that it was going to catch fire here. When people were pushing back against the mandates, we were up there leaning on him. You know, you got to get control of the vassals. You know, do you think that was happening?
Oh, I believe that. I believe that because that's happened in the past. Trudeau's father was told to quit being prime minister back in the early 80s. That's why he quit. He was told to quit, and then his best friend in Sweden, Olof Palme, didn't quit, and they shot him in the back with a .357, you see. So, yes, no, you're not wrong there. That's hegemony that's been going on for years, right back to the Avro era of 1958-59. So but then Britain goes along with that, you see. That's in the special relationship, you see. But so that's not wrong. But we can still discuss these issues, I will get back to you in the future.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. All right. Appreciate you checking in from our neighbors to the north.
All right, thanks.
Have a good night. Bye. Yeah, I think our entanglements with our government and anywhere, not just, butting our nose in and pressuring Trudeau to squash the convoy, to squash the dissent for anything. I mean, that's really not our business, but these entanglements get very deep and complicated. These favors. If I do this, what will you do for me? That's always the response. And there's a very thin line between state-level diplomacy and foreign policy debates and getting into these global entanglements that our Constitution right here in the United States, all right, right in good old America, we should not be entangling ourselves that are inconsistent with our Constitution. Yet we do it over and over again. Every one of these global alliances, and now we have right down to municipal boards, all kinds of entities are partnering up with international nonprofits of all sorts that are very well connected. We have got to stop that. We've got to untangle that. We've got to identify it. Take a step back. We have gone down that path. We've got to back up, and we've got to start undoing. All right, we need legislators that aren't going in there with brilliant ideas to get passed, but going in there with a cleaver to start trimming. There's a lot of fat to be trimmed. Andy from Texas, how are you tonight?
Oh, hey, Dave, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear, brother. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. First off, I want to apologize to anybody last week that I might have insulted or made feel bad. I was I used some explicitives and I was talking candidly. But here's what I want to talk about, Dave. These people are killing us, all right? Not just with these shots. You know, I lost my mom, I lost two brothers, and I lost a lot of my friends. And my friends have lost a lot of friends. They're killing us with the shots. And now they've killed our food supply sources. So everything that we're eating now is from last year and years before. And what happened this year is we don't have a spring crop, we don't have a summer crop, and we're not going to have a fall crop because they made sure we didn't get the fertilizer, the seed, or anything. They killed off a bunch of cattle, and they're going to kill off a bunch more cattle, and they're going for a Green New Deal, and they're going to put little plugs up cows' butts so that their methane can be stored somewhere underground. They're going to try to store carbon dioxide, which is all manners of life on this planet. We're all carbon planeteers here. And they're going to keep doing this and stuff. So my question to you, Dave, and I know it's rhetorical and you can't really answer it, but when is it time to take up arms? These people are killing us, Dave. They're killing us. They're literally killing us. And we sit here and we just keep talking about how they're killing us. We keep showing everybody how they're killing us. We keep talking about the way they're killing us and what they're doing next and what we expect now. But when is it time to do something, Dave? And I know you can't answer that.
Yeah, I mean, it is a hard one to answer, and I don't think there's any one thing that is going to say, well, this was the solution. I've always opposed people and groups that say, yeah, this will do it. Drop everything you're doing. And I don't think that exists. It's too complicated. It's too complicated of a mess. How do we do it without causing further instability and without causing actual national security issues? Because if we, in the process of reforming our government, and it needs a good douching, I'm telling you right now, there's so much rotten decay within it, so many trends that have been set, it's a monumental effort. But how do you do that without destabilizing yourself to the point that you can't defend yourself as a nation? That's one of my biggest struggles. Personally, I deal with their tyranny with nullification. Now, I live an entirely different lifestyle than a lot of people. You know, governments there, you know, I think you should, and I'm, nope, you know, that's the way I am. No, thank you. I don't want your dog license. I don't want your this. I don't want your that. And that's a lifestyle thing for me. So although my frustrations, I get to come on here 2 hours a week and really vent and let a little bit out. But, you know, I find ways of living, with freedom and liberty to the extent that I can, but the frustrations of the rotten decay around me is amazing. Nullification is one of them. People just got to start saying, no, you will survive. You'll be okay. You can say, no, wear a mask. Sir, will you put your mask on? No. No, I won't. I don't wear one for health reasons. But thanks for asking.
Well, hey, Dave, here's the biggest problem in society right now, because we know that they've well surpassed the Declaration of Independence. Anything and everything that happened that we declared independence from England has far been surpassed. The only thing they haven't done is quarter themselves in our homes. So if those guys would fight for that, here's what I think the biggest problem is. It's not your fault. It's the fault of the FCC, and we're so not empowered from our radio shows and stuff. You can't call to arms. Nobody on these shows that we're listening to, you can't say, hey, guess what? It's time to go. Get your guns. We're going to meet here, and let's go. You can't call to arms, and that's terrible. And the thing is if you guys were allowed, not just you, the Alex Joneses, all these big names and stuff that are in the media, if they all came together on the same page and said, let's go right now, you can bet there'd be 10, 15 million people grabbing their guns and headed to wherever we are supposed to be going. But that would have to be a coordinated effort, and it'd have to be a one-day deal, because you'd all be shut down the day you said it. Maybe shut down the minute you said it. But on the same token, that's really what needs to be happening, because what's happening right now with alternative media and stuff is we're always like, no, we need a peaceful solution. Everybody's going for a peaceful solution. We can see there's not going to be a peaceful solution to this. And if you look into the future, you're seeing by this fall, there's going to be poor people that can't afford any food. They're going to be starving. They're going to start ripping people off. They start breaking into places and stuff like that. We are well past the point where we should have stood up to these people. I can't believe that we are so strained by the alternative media, and it's not your fault. You guys are going by the guidelines. You cannot, if you just say anything about violence, you get shut down. It's the bummer of this world, but it's really what needs to be said. I know many people that are talking on the alternative media. They really want to say, look, let's go get these sons of bitches. But nobody can do it. Nobody has the willpower. And the person who does it will be certainly taken off the air immediately just to save the network. I get that. Yeah, but that's what we need.
You know, I totally, I'm resonating with the sentiment of what you're saying here. But when you say, we got to go get them, I get the sense that you're talking about, but where? It seems to me, I get the sense that you're talking about D.C. or wherever the deepest part of the deep state is. I envision, because I really am, I've grown to look at this differently, all the horrible things that they do at the top, even the globalist dribble that goes into D.C. and comes from D.C. at us, it is always enforced at the local level. And we don't have to go anywhere other than train our own boneheaded representatives right in our cities and towns. If someone comes to aggress at you for no reason, all right, they say you're not to be outside during daylight hours and you're out on your porch, and they come to, after you, all your neighbors need to stand. That's the sentiment that's missing today that the founders had, is that they knew that if a government came over, you know, if the Redcoats came over and started pushing around any one of them, then it's an open ticket to push them all around. So they defended each other. We've got to defend liberty everywhere it's under attack. And that most specifically means when your local, when your neighbors, your local businesses, when they say, no, I'm not closing, I'm staying open for my customers. We got to show up there and make sure.
Yeah, but Dave, they've killed my family. They've killed my friends. They killed my friends' friends. Yeah. They've done it with this shot. I mean, when is it time for us to turn the tables on them? And when can we actually say that? Yeah, we can do all these things. We can go and try to influence our local representatives, and we can go and try to talk to the television stations and ask them politely not to tell us that the shots are good for us anymore, even though they're continuing to do it and putting commercials on the TV telling us that it's great and get your kids shot and stuff. They're continuing to do this. This is a death jab.
You know, but Andy, they pushed us so far out of the system that we can't even participate. We can't access our own courts for justice. We've got to start pushing back so that we, there's
You're
real
making
criminals.
My point. You're making
the
my point. When is it time to
put family members? They killed my friends and family too.
Absolutely, we all are victims.
Until we push back and we get back in control, and that's gonna—it's a huge push. It's a popular movement, and we're seeing the start of another actual movement, a legitimate movement, with the farmers over in the EU and the Dutch area.
Another one.
Yeah, they're on fire over there. And they know they're actually striking at the root. This 30% cut, this is all Agenda 2030. This is it.
Let's do a channel change. Okay, so CERN fired up over 4th of July weekend. 3 years settled, and now they fired it up. And then all of a sudden, right after CERN fires up, somebody blows up the our guidestones down there in Georgia. Is that an interesting thing? I mean, how do you make that? Do you think they blew it up, or do you think somebody blew it up? They did happen to blow up the specific guidestone that was in English, and
yes,
it worked pretty well.
Yeah. Now,
and then they went 12 hours later. It's a crime scene. 12 hours later, they were knocking it down with a backhoe. What do you make of that?
Well, theoretically, there was a time capsule underneath there, so I'm thinking whoever the owner was wanted to make sure that was retrieved and that there was no liability with what was left there. But you know what I did? One of the theories that was out there, and it's possible, it was difficult to tell with the video, but plausible, is that it was actually struck by lightning, like the George Floyd.
There's video of a guy running up, putting a box down, running away. They got two cameras up there. There's two poles up there that have two cameras filming this 24/7. There's video of this guy running up there, putting something down, and then running. He's got a hoodie on and runs away, and then like 40 seconds later,
we don't know if he
actually set it off, or maybe they blew it up and made it look like somebody did it. Who knows? But they're well underway with their procedure, so they don't need the guidestones to tell us anymore. We're well aware of what they're doing, so maybe they did it themselves. I don't know. It's just weird. CERN fires up, and all of a sudden, the Georgia guidestones are gone.
Yeah, well, you know, I was shooting my pie hole off this week. I got an idea. I was thinking about putting up the Liberty guidestones and planting them somewhere up here in the Northeast.
Hey, good idea.
Yeah, putting our own proclamation right on there and what we think of the globalist. And, have our own liberty.
Ten Commandments up there like they did. Yeah, right, Ten Commandments. First and foremost, there is no leader of me. That's number one. There's no leader of us. We lead ourselves. That's the problem. That's the problem, Dave, is government. Government is the problem. They get us into every war. They fight. They make us fight wars that we don't want to fight, but because we join the military, we have to fight them for them? I don't think so. But they've done this. They've done this throughout history, and here we are. We're in the society that was not made for us. We're living lives that weren't made for us. None of this was made for us. Some of us
I think we got the government we deserve. This is exactly what we're told we would get if we were not vigilant, and we did. We tolerated small tyranny. Well, they were tolerable, and we got exactly what we were told we were going to get. So we got to get it back.
Hey, Dave, I'll let you go.
All right, I appreciate you calling in, Andy. Always good to hear from you there in Texas. Those guidestones. I certainly am not going to lose any sleep that they're gone. It was horrendous that they were up there as long as they were. But you know, it was good that it was on display for the world to see that there are creatures out there that believe in that type of crap. Oh, man, I don't know. We have got a caller from Missouri. Rhonda, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. How's things in Missouri?
Good. Hey, I have a question for you. I know I think I heard you talking about this about a week ago or so, the scam callers, right? And then I also heard, I think it's, what is that guy's name that helped John Stantmiller out a lot? What's his name? Is it Tom? Tom. Here's my question. So have you ever gotten a call from one of those scammers that say somebody's charged your account, your Amazon account for an Apple cell phone?
You know, I usually don't even get to the point where I'm listening to much from them. I'm pretty careful about calls that I take. So, you know, a call comes in, I usually know who it is and have them plugged into my phone. And if not, they'll leave a message. But I get a lot of scammers that come in, but I button things up pretty tightly, though.
Okay. I got 13 of those today that said, here's what they do. And I know you're going to a break, so maybe I should wait to elaborate on it. But what a bunch of yahoos. I mean, those guys. I mean, I just go, and I know you're going to a break very soon, right? So I just want to, well, I'm going to elaborate on it after the break if I can, but I don't know who they think they're kidding. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Go ahead and give us what you got.
They're not calling the dullest career in the box. You're going to laugh when I tell you what they did and what I did. But is the break coming up soon?
Well, go ahead. I think they'll hold off on the break if you want to get...
Okay, so this is classic. So I get a call, first call, and I'm like, okay. So it's basically, if your Amazon account will be charged for $900-something for an Apple phone. Press 1 if you didn't make this purchase. Press 2 if you agree. Well, after a while, I just said, okay, I'm going to press 1. I don't agree. So I get this guy on the phone, and he goes, yeah. I said, what's the deal? What's the dealio here? And he goes, we're about ready to, you know, charge a card for an Apple phone. And did you make this purchase? And I said, well, who do you think I am? What's my name? He goes, you know your name. I said, yeah, but do you know my name? I mean, talk about general, right? So then he goes, please wait. And he comes back, and this is the funny part. He goes, this is Jeffrey, right? And I said, excuse me? I said, what? He goes, this is Jeffrey. I said, I'm a female, okay? And he goes, stop. He goes, don't get smart with me. This is Jeffrey. And I'm like, he was from India or something. I said, I'm going to give you a break. I said, there's no woman. You're never going to find a woman in the United States of America named Jeffrey. Just saying. He goes, stop getting smart with me. Right? Don't get smart. I said, I'm already smarter than you.
They'll always try to think of something. And, you know,
yeah, the dullest crayon in the box is smarter than that. And I said, no, I'm not Jeffrey. Well, anyway, that ended. And then they keep calling back. And I finally say, do you know what a lawsuit is? And then they keep calling. I mean, I'm telling you what, I got five calls, one after another, right after that. Huh?
I blocked them because they pass your number around. Once you show as active in any way, you know, answering the phone or anything.
Well, I mean, just want to go, that was fun. Where'd you get? You know, you got nowhere. And finally, I just said, you know what, go ahead and charge my card. Click. You got nothing on me. You don't know my name. I mean, they're doing a reverse phone lookup, right, Dave?
Yeah, but I mean, what they could do is send you a text that has some sort of a payload in it, and if you've got anything in your existing phone with credit card information, you know, who knows? That's why I'm real careful about interacting with them, especially on a smartphone, is you don't know what they're capable of nowadays. You know, we're going to send you a PIN code for you to log in or something like that, and all you got to do is open up that text message, and who knows what payload's in there. So,
well, that was the next question was, do you have a cell phone? I said, no, I don't. He's like, really? What? You know, like shocked. I said, I don't really have a cell phone. Do you have a laptop or a, you know, desktop? And I said, yeah, there's a couple around here. Well, I'm going to need you to log in. I was like, and what planet do you think I live on? For what? I said, we haven't even established who I am yet. I'm not Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you would have to be...
Scammers of all sorts, so you just, you know, be real careful, and emails are the same thing. But if you interact on social media, listening to shows like this, going to social media sites, and, you know, you're among those that get flagged once in a while, you wind up being a target for that stuff. It's like being in a swamp covered with mosquitoes. I mean, they're everywhere. And they, and those that are orchestrating, some of them are artificial, the AI stuff that I was talking about earlier, but all of the Antifa, BLM, the extreme progressives, you know, knock them for what you will, but they're deviantly brilliant how they identify and dox, and then they swarm like bees on people. They send it out to their list, and they make their lives miserable. So the less you you give them, the better. Just be careful.
Well, I know, and I would never give any. I just told them, charge my card. I mean, we haven't even established who I am yet. So go ahead and do it, you know, and I know the person they're talking about, and that person doesn't even use Amazon. And he asked me if I did, and I said, oh, you know what, I have in the past. But you know what, Jeffrey, I'm sorry, but, you know, you haven't a brain the size of an ant. I mean, he was telling me not to get smart with him. When I told him, I said, my name is not Jeffrey, you know? And
you talked to him a lot longer than I would have.
Well, I love messing with him when I got time. I mean, it's kind of funny. But, you know, there's this guy out there. It's Kit Boga. You know, his grandmother got scammed or something, so he does a lot of stuff. Kit Boga, I know. I sent something to John Stantmiller once, and he actually talked about it. It was hilarious because he does the reverse scam. You know what I'm saying? He does the reverse. He keeps them on the line for like an hour, and they're not getting anywhere. It's hilarious, Kit Boga.
Yeah, I've done that before and give them crazy numbers and whatnot, and... Yeah,
if you want to laugh, go to kitboga.com and watch some of his stuff. The guy is just amazing. He's probably about 30 now, but he's funny. But, so I know that Tom over there at RBN said something about how you can actually get money. I don't know. I wrote down all the phone numbers. Some of them came by phone number. Some of them came by private name, private caller. But I got like 13 today, and it was just so ridiculous. I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to share that story. You know, I don't know who would automatically assume when you have to press 1 for somebody to, you know, you don't want them to charge your card, and they don't even know who you are. How random is that?
Those things, if you hear something like that, I recommend that you just hang up immediately and then call.
It has to stop because there's old people who probably would fall for this scam, Dave.
Yeah,
you know, we got to save the old people.
These are things that if they're happening in large numbers, they tell people to report that, and the police do.
Yeah, well, I'm going
to
get them because I got scammed once before, and I had to cancel my credit card. But I got time, and I'm going to get some money. I'm going to make them stop. I'm not one of those people that likes to sue people, but these people from foreign countries... Well, I know I can block them, but but if I got involved, I could do that. That would just be me.
If you're on Telegram, you probably got your number active on there.
No, I don't have a Telegram. I don't have a Twitter. All I have is a Facebook. I don't have a cell phone. But I don't have any of that other stuff because I don't have a cell phone. But I'm gonna get them, Dave. And you know what? Tom from RBN is gonna help me. I mean, this is harassment. It's harassment, Dave. You know,
it is. It does disrupt your service when they stay at you. So I hope you get them. I hope you get them.
I will, and I will report back to you, Dave.
All right. Yeah. Let us know how you do.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Have a good night. Okay.
Okay. You too. Now.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye. All right. Bye.
Yeah. There's a lot of scamsters out there. Almost every. You know, anything that happens, like if there's a horrible tragedy of some sort, there is almost always a pack of jackals that'll come out and create little nonprofits and charities around that and sucker to people for a lot of money. So all kinds of scams. Sadly, you just got to be really careful and use discernment. Let's see, we got a caller from Pennsylvania, Trump Truck. How are you doing tonight?
What's going on there, Hillbilly? How you doing?
Yeah, there he is. How's things down in Pennsylvania tonight?
We're doing, brother. We're doing. I was on hold so long, I forgot my train of thought, you know?
Oh, geez. Well, I was ranting on a couple of things. I know we don't have the vigor that our founding fathers did. And the young people back then, I had mentioned the 14-year-old, had an awful lot of responsibility on that one young person. And it really was one of the integral things that led to our independence. But our young people don't have that anymore, not that I saw.
Yeah, you got that right. Going back to that guy from Texas, you know, listening to him, we understand his frustration. We talk about it every day. You know that. And I feel him. I know what he's talking about, but what do you do, right? We talk about this every day, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, well, what do you do to... Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, how do you get there from here? The founders laid out a militia. And it really isn't a word that we should be afraid to use, is it was very integral. It was an intimate part of our constant vigilance, if you will, because the militia was everybody. That would be the staffers working for our senators. It would be the people, you know, pumping their gas and serving their coffee in the morning. The militia is everywhere. We don't really have that mentality today.
Well, you can't use the word militia. You know that.
Yeah.
God forbid. That's racist.
Yeah.
You know that. You use the word militia, and you got the three-letter word knocking on your door. You know what I mean, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we should change that.
But I
that
feel
that
frustration.
Yeah. Or what's the equivalent? What can we do that's a step in that direction? I mean, we got to organize.
Yeah,
that's one of the...
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. The organization, we talk about it, we do, you know, when we talk every day, and you're right, you got to organize. Organize with your neighbors. That's what I do. I'm getting my neighbors so woken up, they don't know what's going on, you know, and then now I can go to the grocery store, and you know me and my truck, you know, people always come up to me, ask me a million questions, what's going on, what's this, and if I start talking to them too much about too many things that I know, I feel like I lose them, like they just went to space, you know what I mean? Because they don't know what we know. You know what I mean? You have to hit them lightly.
Yeah. I learned that years ago when I woke up and I went, holy crap, I cannot believe the cage they built around us. And I went out frantically trying to get what was in my head in their head in one shot. And I came off sounding like a conspiracy nut. I really did. And that's where I learned to be more selective, you know, learn a little bit about somebody and what their hot button issues are, and then hit them with that. Because they'll go down the other rabbit holes, I think. Don't you?
Oh, definitely. I try to hit them lightly with the stuff they might see on the news, you know, like the little tidbits. And then I hit them with, why don't you, I'll write a website down or something like, you know, whatever. It could be your channel now, you know. I'll tell them, go to these websites on Rumble or whatever. Go do your own research, because if I sit there and talk to you for 2 hours in the parking lot, I'm going to lose you, you know what I mean? Because I'm going to be all over the place. I'll start talking about adrenochrome and, you know what I mean? I'll be all over the place. But the main thing people ask me is, what are we going to do? I had a 73-year-old man ask me, lives on the street, chased me down to the local hardware store. Said, "Are you ready? Where do we meet up when the time comes?" And I'm like, I was thrown off about that, you know. People are awake, you know what I mean? They know what's going on. A lot of them are older people, you know, people that were in Vietnam and and been around, and they can't believe what's going on. And they're the first ones I think they're going to take to the streets. I really do.
You know, the older guys and the veterans, they realize the massive shift that has taken place during their lifetime. Some of the younger people, you know, the 20 and 30-somethings, you know, they were born at a time where they were surrounded by computers and Windows 95 and up and things like this. You know, so they have a very limited perspective on life. To them, this is normal. This is freedom. And it really isn't. It's the danger of losing the youth like we have. There's a disconnect unless we're there to instill in them, you know, those battles that were fought before them. They're missing it. We're losing a lot young people every year. How do we get them back?
Well, that's the tough thing, because what they teach them in school is not what we learn in school. They're totally propagandize the children, you know, the books. They're not teaching them about wars or the truth about wars, you know what I mean? They're skipping everything. And it's whatever the teacher wants to teach them now. They're not even going by the handbooks, you know what I mean? And that's the brainwashing going on. So that's why I pulled my son out, you know, goes to the Christian Charter School online, and he's doing great. And they teach real history. They teach what we were taught, you know what I mean? I just tell more parents you should look into it, because if you hurt the schools, see, me by me pulling my son out, the school district lost $33,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when they start losing funding, they'll understand why. Stop teaching our kids that, you know about the books they put into. We've been fighting for months here in Pennsylvania. These books are pedophilia. You know, it's pornography. And they passed.
Yeah.
They went through.
Yeah, parents are recoiling.
You know?
I think we've got 37,000 parents that have withdrawn their kids from school. Huge number. And that's growing and only going to get worse from what I'm hearing right now. But I've been saying this for a while, and I know you've heard me say it too, is this going to be a pretty exciting time come budget season this fall on town hall floors everywhere when these school districts come near with their little hands out wanting more money, and they already gobble up 75% of your tax dollars, but they're going to want more money when in reality about 30% of their population fell away. You know, to me,
I'd
be up there with a cleaver saying, boom, your budget is cut by 40% until you figure out what you've done wrong. You know,
and why should I have to pay taxes if my kid don't go to school no more? You know what I'm saying? So while our parents got together and said, well, I'm funding another school. My kid don't go to this local school. I'm not paying taxes. You know what I mean?
The money
starts there. You know what I'm saying?
The money that they give out, you know, per child, per capita, should go with the child. That way the parent can invest in the best education that's available to them. If it turns out to be, you know, a public school rather than a government school, but a good public school, then let them invest in that. But that money should go with them. And it's
correct.
Only that. This is like free market stuff, because in reality, you know, in the free market world, two businesses that would compete with each other would wind up getting the best product for the lowest price. So if the school realized it was incentivized by the fact parents were keeping their money, pulling their kids out, they're going to have to make those changes to be competitive with that. So if you don't let the money go with the parent, you're stifling the free market forces where this would correct itself.
Yeah, well, what I try to say to parents is you keep doing this, and they're going to sit back one day. The principal, the vice principal, the administration is going to sit back and be like, what is going on? Why are parents pulling the kids out? You know, because they're so dumbfounded and blind by what's going on and what they're teaching. And they're going to say, we lost 40% of our kids. What's going on? You know, because they're dumb in the brain and they don't think. You know what I'm saying? And then it's going to hit them. Oh, it's the books. Oh, it's the propaganda we're teaching. It's going to hit them one day, you know? So I was saying, like, that money in the state of Pennsylvania, that money travels with my son. I don't know how other states work, but in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, that money travels with my son. So they lost $33,000, plus they have to pay for my son's laptop, everything. You know what I'm saying? So he would be getting in public school, the charter school gets it from Delaware Valley. You know what I'm saying? From the Pennsylvania school district. So, which is nice, like you were saying.
But that
wouldn't
go
to more people.
That wouldn't go to you as a homeschooler, though, would it?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. And now, I think you can do that. I think that's what another lady, you know, Thunderstruck, one of our friends, she's opening up a school, and I think she's able to profit off of that. She's able to get funding that way because she's opening up a private school.
Yes, if you operate as a private school, but here's what I was doing. I was trying to hook this conversation around to something, is that can you imagine if, let's say there were 10 parents, you and 9 others in your neighborhood, who were equally as frustrated with the schools, pulled your kids out, and you each had $33,000 to invest in the education of your children. What could a small group of 10 for that kind of money, what could you do for your children? And I'll tell you, it's a whole lot more than the public option could ever give you.
That's a great idea, but guess who'll be knocking on the door in a year? The IRS.
Tax dollars. The whole community. This is where, you know, I might disagree with you just a little bit. You mentioned that, you know, my kids aren't going to that school, so, you know, why would I pay that tax? You know, there's a couple of things, you know, and this is a great debate. People have argued this back and forth quite extensively a million times. But, you know, there's an argument on one side that would say that, you know, as a town, as our community, you know, this is our investment in our kids, you know, if it's through paying taxes to make sure we got a good school, the roads, you know, we use the roads. So for us to pay a little bit for the roads, you know, it's when we get ripped off, when they take our tax money and we don't have good road surfaces, when our schools suck, you know, that's when the complaints start. Because I wouldn't, you know, myself, if I had well-rounded, productive young people being churned out of my local schools, and you know, I wouldn't feel so bad paying those taxes in if they're doing good, you know, creating good Americans, good people. But they're not.
Of course. No, you got it. Oh. I mean, listen, Delaware Valley, our school district, what was it? It's the top third, ranked school in the state of Pennsylvania? It's the third ranked school in Pennsylvania. It was at one time, you know that, for education. I don't know where we're at now. I think it fell to the wayside with their academics and their sports. I mean, everything from football and up. I mean, but that's the problem. They started... I hear a lot from parents that they kept funding sports and not other programs. You get what I'm saying? So the football players can get all the new uniforms and all that stuff, right? But band and all these other so on and so forth things you do in school, you know, these other clubs, we're not getting no funding. So that was another, and it's always been like that, even since I was a kid. Sports always got the money, you know what I mean?
Everyone wants to have a winning sports team. But what was really impactful, especially to the younger kids, is they started doing away with recess and art. These are one is a physical, you know, release of energy, and the other is an artistic release of energy that used to, you know, kind of be instrumental in the well-rounded, you know, ness of a kid. You got to let them outside, get some sun on them, and blow some steam off.
That's right.
But in our effort to do away with those things, we've created kids that are a ball of energy where they could have just gone out and exhausted themselves for a half hour, 45 minutes. You know, that we just put them on drugs. So, yeah.
How about this? Now that you bring it up, I'm sorry to cut you off, but now that you brought it up so I don't lose my train of thought because it happened. Now kids, if they don't want to do recess, they don't have to. They go, or I mean, don't have to do gym. oh, I don't want to do gym. Okay, the kid don't have to do gym for the rest of the year because some reason, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to play dodgeball. Man, if our gym, we imagine saying that to our gym teacher back in the day? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we had to get out and do something. They made you get out and get some kind of exercise at least. But, yeah, they're incentivizing a world full of softies and fat bodies.
That you got it, and that's why we have obesity is like the number one thing with children now, and so on and so forth. You know, unhealthy kids, and you could go on and go on forever, right?
Do you see this Sports Illustrated? You see the new Sports Illustrated issue where we're supposed to think that's
it's a chunky woman, right?
Yeah,
I'll be nice about it. I'll say chunky.
I had a couple of buddies that liked the fluffy girls, and that's fine. But, yeah. I mean, Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, you know, there's certain expectations that goes along with that. This is written and done for a certain community of people, and now we're all supposed to think that is the vision of beauty. That's what we find sexy.
Yeah. I saw that the other day. I thought maybe we brought it up, but maybe we didn't talk. Maybe we did. Who knows? But I remember Kathy Ireland on the cover of Swimsuit in 1994. It's still in my brain.
Yeah.
You know?
She didn't weigh 200 pounds with more chins than a Chinese phone book either, huh?
No, she didn't. Oh, man. Well, you know, like I said, there's always a topic you could talk about on here. We got endless topics. I said that. And you have a smorgasbord of topics. Like the last lady that just called in about the scam calls.
Yeah.
If you ever have time, go, and if she's listening, go to Scammer Payback. I've been watching the kid for 4 years. Kid's amazing, and you have a good time with it. I mean, he calls them back. He hacks them. He steals their money. And he speaks Indian now. This kid speaks Indian now and everything. I mean, his grandma got robbed, lost her house and everything because of the Indian scamming. And he did his own investigation. I think he was 19 years old, very computer savvy, and now he's like 28. And he's doing it right back to them. He's had hundreds of them arrested. He's working with the Indian police. It's pretty interesting, you know?
What's it called?
Really cool. Scammer Payback.
I have to check it out.
Check him out. I mean, he's good. He's good. He's really good. And if the lady's listening, I think she was from Montana or Missouri, it's really good. Because, you know what, it's true. They've been doing it to the elderly for so long. You know, I know a couple of customers of mine that they've been robbed. Do you know what I mean?
The older folks are so trusting, and they do make it sound official, and they get them so often. And it is sad because the old people really can't afford, and they're the quickest to get out there and make sure that there's no mistake and their checkbook is balanced, and they get taken all the time. It's infuriating.
They do. It makes you want to fly over to another country, you know what I'm saying?
But,
it aggravates you because...
You know, we can hook them up now with this guy here at Scammer Payback. Sounds like interesting stuff.
It is.
All right, I got two more callers on the line. What's your parting thoughts tonight? What's your parting thoughts for tonight? How do you? What's your projection for Pennsylvania in midterms?
Doug Mastriano, all the way. Keep voting. Go red. Doug Mastriano, keep fighting in Pennsylvania. And I'm having a little conversation with somebody at the table here that DeSantis and Trump are going to run together, president and vice president, but I'm not seeing that. But I say keep DeSantis in Florida and maybe give Trump 2 years when he's in, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll be a flip-flop. I don't know. That's where I'm at right now.
Excellent. It will be interesting to see who he dials in for VP. I don't think it's going to be Pence, though.
I don't think it's going to be Pence at all. He's got Gitmo in the works.
Yeah, let's hope. Hey, thanks for the call and checking in Pennsylvania. Appreciate it.
Okay, brother. Have a good night. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye. Oh, man. Yeah, the scamsters. And it's good that there's people out there to counter this stuff and go right back after the monsters. There's a group from Massachusetts. I just love these guys. Young Hispanic group, from what I can see. But part of the Predator Poachers, Massachusetts. And they are nailing these pedophiles. They got police chiefs, school teachers, cops, dozens and dozens of just regular garden variety freak shows, and catching them right on tape, nailing them dead to rights. As much as I bitch and complain about most of the young people out there going soft and going south, you know, there's a few bright lights that shine, you know, and the young people could do, because their energy and enthusiasm, they really don't know much about boundaries at that point. And that energy that all combines at that young age is incredible. It's too bad that it's under lock and key right now by the globalists of the world. Absolutely sickening. Wow, got a couple minutes here each. The remaining callers are going to have to do it in about 2 minutes each. JR from Georgia.
Yes, I was wondering what you thought of the assassination of the former Japanese prime minister and how that could possibly affect any future voting, understanding of what's going to happen in the future. Because it strikes me strange, in the previous almost 15, 20 minutes of the time you wasted with a guy on local politics in his high school. It just astonishes me how you just wasted RBM's time on a local story.
Well,
I'm sorry, dude. I got no time for you, brother. You're wasting time in a guy in Pennsylvania.
Well, I don't consider it a waste of time. I gave you some time here to put a point out. Do you have one?
Yes, sir. I just made a point about the former Japanese prime minister being assassinated and how that could be associated with where we're going in this country in regards to our political leadership moving forward.
Well, I would hope, and I've always said this, that there's some sort of a peaceful way where there doesn't have to be a great deal of bloodshed to right the ship. Do I think, you know, assassinations and things like that are called for? I don't. I think there's a way that we can, we always have the right to defend ourselves with deadly force if necessary. That's a given. As a constitutionalist, we should all understand that we have the absolute right wherever we stand to defend ourselves. This was an act of aggression who took out the prime minister here. I don't know enough details on who was behind this to begin with. I don't know a lot about the prime minister himself. So in comparison, do I think that that style of reform is what we should be doing here? I'd say no. Because if you people go up and start plugging officials, they're going to ratchet down on everybody really quick. And I don't see that solving anything. We'll easily be viewed. Anyone who detracts from the government's official narrative will be viewed as that person. So I don't know. I'm not sure. But one thing I do know is that when people call into the show, is to share their thoughts. I've always been about people having a free exchange of thoughts, no matter what that subject matter is. So I don't think any of the callers that call in are a waste of time, just to make that clear.
Well, I appreciate your statements, and I will not be condescending in my remarks, but there are certain issues that should be addressed, and they are sometimes not addressed, and what individuals who call in regards to the local, regional, county, city issues on RBM is almost irrelevant because they have no value to them on this broadcast.
I'm going to disagree with you on that.
I'm sorry you're trying to interrupt me. That's fine. That's fine.
No, I want to make sure that you know, that we have an understanding here, because if I go back to my very first show on RBN, one of the things that I said is that I am from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, where the Agenda 21 bomb went off, is going to be looking like, it's going to be like looking into a crystal ball. I am going to share with the people on RBN and across this nation the type of socialist dribble that's coming their way so subtly through all kinds of policy that comes from those same creatures that you and I both deplore. But they've got tentacles that do go into our towns. And I've actually made a concerted effort to make those connections and say, look what I found, and it's coming for you. So I don't think the two are irrelevant. In the world of globalization, you've got a UN that has a global to local plan. They don't want to get any ruffle the feathers of your federal or state government. They want to work right with your nonprofits and right with your town. So I disagree with you respectfully on that. I think there's a very significant connection, because everything that every caller talked about tonight, about big, heavy-handed federal government, I qualified and said that it is always enforced at the local level. So if we don't fire up the people right around us and awake them up to the monster that goes all the way to the World Economic Forum, we got to show them the connections. They're there. Right? So I respectfully disagree that this is not the forum to be talking about local issues, because there's literally no distinction now between local and international.
I will agree with you that we can cut my conversation short with you to allow someone else to talk. Thank you.
I appreciate the call. Politics, and you are listening to the podcast. Love to talk. Black guy, keep up dry. Love each other out there.
Shrouded in secrets and mysteries. Bloodlines of history, they sit at the top. Counting.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.